This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Share a scripture that's been really on my heart lately, and it's Romans 5 verse 1 to 5. It says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love, with his love. And I was just reminded that we cannot do anything to deserve God's grace. And at Encounter One again, I was just reminded again that we cannot do anything to win God's grace. There's nothing physically that we can do. But we stand in this place of undeserved privilege. And we are sons and daughters of God the Most High. And we have access to the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. I just want us to keep that in our minds as we worship. That's who we are worshiping. So Father God, we thank you that we can stand in this place of undeserved privilege to be called sons and daughters of the Most High. And Father, we thank you for your precious Son, Jesus Christ, and what he did for us on that cross. And we thank you that we have access and we can have a relationship with you because of Jesus. And today we praise your name, for you are holy and worthy and most worthy to be praised. May our voices be a sweet fragrance to you, Father. May you be glorified today upon our praises, in Jesus' name. Amen.
glory of His majesty. Great is the Lord, we cry, and greatly to be praised. Let every nation rise and say, our God reigns, our God reigns. Great is the Lord, we cry, and greatly to be praised. Let every nation rise and say, our God reigns, our God reigns. Your banner, your banner over us is love, unfailing love. Your banner, your banner over us is love, unfailing. Your banner over us is love, unfailing love. Your banner over us is love, unfailing love. Your banner, your banner. To be praised. mercy without end. The King who led died, the God who sacrificed, be enthroned upon the praises of a thousand generations. You are worthy, Lord. To you, the slain and risen King, we lift our voice with heaven, singing, worthy, Lord of all. No, through this life we lead, and no, through eternity, our endless praise. Jesus be glorified. Jesus be glorified. Be enthroned upon the praises of a thousand generations. You are worthy, Lord of all. And not to you, the slain and risen King, we lift our voice.
Thank you, Father, that we could lift our voices, that we could praise your name, that we can do it over here, that we know that we're going to do it in heaven as well, forever and ever. Praise your name for who you are. We haven't got enough names, Father, to give to you. You're so great, you're so awesome. You're Lord of Lords, King of Kings. You're the Creator. You are our Father. Thank you that we can come to you, that we can call you our Father. Thank you that we can come to you, what you want to share with us, Father. That we can remain in this position, we can receive from you what you want to share with us this afternoon. To you all the praise, to you all the glory, in Jesus' name. Who has never been thirsty? So all of us have been thirsty once in our lives. It makes it a little bit easier for me, because if it wasn't the case, then I just had to explain to you what thirsty actually means. But okay, then I can carry on. Now, if we are thirsty, then we can drink some water. And we've got an option, what we can drink. We can drink clean water, or we can drink polluted water. That's an option what we've got, what we want to drink. I'll go for the clean water, fresh water from Utrecht. Yeah, nothing wrong with it, not polluted. Because there is polluted water. Like they say, the Dead Sea has got more pollution, or it's got more diluted materials in it as what we've got in a cup of tea. But the thing is, they don't call the Dead Sea a cup of tea or tea. They call it still water. So diluted water and dirty water, we've got it quite a lot. I just looked it up historically, because I knew about it and I just wanted to confirm it. And then I read that in the year 1475 in the Netherlands, in Amsterdam, in the center of Amsterdam, they started with legislation that you were going to get a fine if you were throwing your dead horse, your dead dog, or your dead sheep into the water. And it was in 1475. Because the problem was that stuff started smelling. And then if it was summertime, and if you've got a heat with it as well, and it's quite smelly, the people basically went out of Amsterdam. Me and Renee are fortunate that we're staying in a place like Seist, and are quite a big buildings over there of people of the inner place of Amsterdam who built places in Seist and other places around here, because they wanted to get out of that place because it was unbearable as a result of the smell. Fortunately, nowadays, with all the legislation, we've got that the places, the water is better. We can drink the water with more safety. We don't have to be afraid what we are drinking over here. So yes, that is what about the polluted water and then the drinking water. But we also know that the closer we get to the fountain, the closer we get to the source of water, the cleaner it gets. Because we know that if we are going to take a look at the end of the river where it goes into, let's say, into the ocean or into the sea, there's a lot of stuff in it which along the way has been thrown into the water. The further we go up, and if it's now a mountain where we go to the top of the mountain, or if it is somewhere to a fountain where it comes out of the ground, we will find clear water over there. And there the clear water is starting, and that it's clean, and that you can drink, and there you don't have any problems with health. Me and Renee and a friend of ours, Yvette, once had the opportunity, it was in December 2016, that we could go to the source of the Maas River. Now the Maas River, quite a few of you are not quite well known with the Netherlands, but that's the river which is coming in at the town of Maastricht at the bottom of the Netherlands, and then it flows through the Netherlands and it goes into the North Sea. And then we went to the source of that river and we put salt in that river. And the reason why we went over there is that intercessors in South Africa who are praying each and every Friday for us, Shofar Utrecht over here, for the last, 3.5 years, nearly 4 years, what we are here, they're praying each and every Friday for us over here. They said to us, we've got to go to the source of the Maas River, which is flowing through the Netherlands. We've got to put salt into the river there. And And then we prayed that the people were going to get thirsty, those people along the Mars River, that they were going to get thirsty and thirsty for God. There's one story in the Bible, in 2 Kings 2, where it is talking about throwing salt into the source of the water. And that was also for a healing purpose. Then the man of the city said to Elisha, "Please notice, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad and the ground barren." And he said, "Bring a new bowl and put salt in it." So they brought it him. And then he went out to the source of the water and cast in the salt there and said, "Thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. From it there shall be no more death or barrenness." So the water remains healed to this day, according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke. So there was a restoration of that fountain of water, and it was giving life now. And that is what we also, when we were putting salt in it, that there would be life flowing from there through the rivers. I can maybe add as well, at the same time when we were in France, we also went to where the Seine River is starting, the source of the Seine River. It was dead. There was no birds. There was nothing there. There was no animals around there. It was totally death. I could not actually understand it. There was a type of a memorial which was up to a certain godness. I don't know which of God it was actually was, what they had put something over there. But it was just idols. It wasn't about God. And then if we take a look at the Seine River, which is flowing through France, is the river who's got so much blood in it through all the generations. It starts, it's dead. But if we went to, like we were to the Mars River when we were over there, and we were putting the salt in it as well, and we also switched on some music, and we were singing one of two songs over there, of the cows which were standing in the grass, they started looking at us. I don't know if our singing was so good or so bad, I'm not quite sure about it. But it was that in a spirit, they came closer, they wanted to see what we were actually doing. And for us it was a confirmation again, okay, they pick it up in the spirit, something is happening over here. In the Old Testament, we get a few verses where it is speaking about God and who God actually is. And that God is the source of water, the fountain of water, and that he continuously supplies fresh water to us. We can read it in Psalm 36, where David is talking about how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of man put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of pleasure. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. God is the fountain of life. He starts. That's where life is starting. He is life. That's where everything is, that life is starting. And it also says that God is light. If we move away from God, we are all in darkness. We've got to move to God, who is the source of light. Jeremiah is also talking about God, the fountain of living waters. For my people have committed two evils. And this is Jeremiah speaking then. They have forsaken me. Sorry, this is God speaking through Jeremiah. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. So God is saying of himself, I'm the fountain of living waters. And then the word forsaken as well means that they left God. They didn't honor him anymore as God. What we've been singing now as well, we've been praising God for who he is and what God is doing. But they stopped with it. They left him. They left God. They've forsaken me. They've left me, the fountain of living waters. And who themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. So what were they doing? They were not looking for God as the source of living waters to them, but they were making, this is what Jeremiah is saying over here, they were making their own cisterns, they were making their own buckets. And what it says over here, they were broken, they couldn't hold water. So the people themselves tried to save themselves. They tried to do it on their own way, instead of going to God and say, God, you are the supplier of fresh water. I cannot gather the water. I cannot keep the water. I've got to go to you for fresh water, for life. A little bit later in Jeremiah 17, again, it's talking about forsaking. O Lord, the hope of Israel, and all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. And it says over there, those who depart from me shall be written in the earth. So if we leave God, our names are not going to be written in a book of life. Our names are going to be written in the ground. Now, we know that if we're going to write in sand, come back 2 or 3 days later, it's gone. It doesn't exist anymore. If you go to the sea, the water washes away that name. If we depart from God, our names are going to be written in the sand, and it's going to be wiped away. It doesn't have any meaning anymore, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. God again, he says who he is. I am the fountain of living waters. We get a prophecy from Zechariah, Zechariah 13 verses 1. In that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for uncleanness. This is Jeremiah prophesying that Jesus was going to come. In that day a fountain shall be opened. Jesus is going to come for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and uncleanness. Jesus is going to come. He's going to cover our sins. He's going to wash us clean. That's the water. That's what Jesus is going to do. So Zechariah was already prophesying of what was going to come with Jesus. And God is talking about himself again, about the fountain, and that he is supplying that water, that living water, which is going to satisfy our thirst. And that we can read in Revelations 21, verses 5-7. 8 I'm going to read a little bit later. Then he who sat on the throne, that is God, then God who sat on the throne, said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and they are faithful. And he said to me, that is then God speaking to John over here, it's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all these things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son/daughter. I always have got to be careful with that, because just now somebody is going to corner me when we've got coffee or tea. God's speaking over there, and he says he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the source, from whom are all things. That is the Alpha. To whom are all things. That's the Omega. It starts with God, and it goes to God. There's only one place where we can go to, and that's to the source. That's to the fountain. That's to the fountain of living waters. And that's to God. No other place. God is absolutely the beginning, and God is absolutely the end. There's nothing else. There's not somebody who can claim. There's no other God on this earth who can claim and say, okay, but I've done this or I've done that. It's our God, the one who we serving, the living God, the creator of heaven and earth. He's absolutely the beginning and absolutely the end. Isaiah confirmed it as well in Isaiah 44 verses 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. Besides me, there is no God. There is no other God. And then he says, I will give of the fountain of waters of life freely to him who thirsts. Freely. It's free. We don't have to pay for it. We don't have to work for it. We can't work for it. We can't do it. We can't pay a certain amount and say, okay, I want to have it. I want to have that salvation. I want to have God. It cannot be done. We can only accept it freely, because gives it to us for free. But the condition is that we should be thirsty. We should be thirsty for what God is giving to us. And then the condition of thirsty, we see it in two different stories as well. The one is where Jesus is at the well, and where he was speaking to that lady. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who is it who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living waters. And the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock. And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of the water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. Jesus again is the source of the water, the source of the living water. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing into everlasting life. And then temple court as well, Jesus was also standing over there, and he was shouting it. On that day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out and saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So Jesus had been standing there at the temple, and he was screaming out, he was telling over there, he's the source of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not given yet, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But there are two conditions over there. Going back to Revelations, is that we must be thirsty and we must overcome. We must be thirsty for things. We must be thirsty for that living water of God. The world is giving us other water. The world is giving us that dirty water. And it's so easy that we drink that dirty water because it has got maybe a better taste with a little more sugar or a little bit more Coke or a little bit other things in it, and then we try to drink it. And it's actually reflecting what the world is giving to us. So we must be thirsty for God's things. And we must be overcoming. So overcoming means that we can make that decision and say, okay, but I don't want to drink. I don't want to have of that what the world is giving me. But I only want to drink what God is giving to me, that fresh water which is coming from him, the fountain of life. I want to drink what God is giving us to, what God is giving to us. And then the one verse, that's the next verse. And I know it's not many times said in churches, but if we do not follow God, there's only one option, it's hell. And I'm not preaching turn or burn, that I'm not saying. But we cannot ignore it. It's one of the two. On a Thursday, it's many times that we speak to people and that they will say, if there's a God, and if God is love, and if we come to a time that he's going to judge us, then if he's really a loving God, he's not going to judge me. I will still go to heaven. Maybe there's going to be a period when I'm going to be a little bit uncomfortable, but that will maybe be fine. I will still go to heaven. They will still be fine if you really believe there's such a God. It's not the case. It's very clear. God is saying it over here again. If you're not for me, then you're against me. If it's not heaven, then it's hell. There's nothing in between. There's not a gray area. And we can also cannot keep quiet about it. Last Thursday, and ladies, sorry, respect again, we spoke to two ladies who said, when we started speaking to them and asking them what they think about Jesus Christ, they said, Jesus Christ, they believe, they go to the church, but they don't want to speak any further about it because it's private. And I wanted to say, but guys, ladies, Matthew 28 is telling you, go and tell. Now you want to keep it private. You're doing exactly the opposite of what Jesus is telling you to do. But in verse 8, it says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexual immoral, the sorcerers, the idolatrous, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with a fire and brimstone, which is the second death. God is giving that option, living water freely. If you do not accept it, the next part is, where are you going? And that is hell. And life is, in this world, is very seriously. Because it depends on what we're doing with our life. On Thursday evening as well, we were speaking to a guy from, I'm just thinking of where he was coming from. Oh, he was coming from Germany. But he was staying here in Utrecht. He was working over here. And we could explain the gospel, and I could give him the gospel of John. I could give him along with him as well, that he could read it. But he was also in that I would say he's maybe 30, 35. He didn't see the need because he wasn't that old. Maybe he was having a look and being and say, okay, you're gray, you're maybe 5 or 10 or 20, 50, or 25 or 30 years or whatever it is, then it's your end. So you must start thinking about it, what is going to happen. So it maybe becomes more your concern. That's not the case. Tomorrow can be too late. We cannot wait with that. And I tried to explain it to him, but at the final end, he took that John Gospel along, and we're praying that he's going to read it and that he's going to have an encounter with God. But God is very serious about it, is that that water what he gives, that source of water what he is, we can get it from him for free. The other is that there's hell. And what he's giving, all those examples over there, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the murderers, the sexual immorals, we can see those and we can see them outside as well. For them, the lake which burns with fire, there's no heaven for them. Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. And that's an invitation, what God is giving. An invitation which God is giving to us all. What we've got to take seriously. What are we doing with our lives? Are we following? Are we going closer to the source? Are we coming to the fountain? Or are we somewhere downstream and we're drinking of the water what we're drinking over there, which is polluted by other stuff which is from the world which is flooding into it? There's only one place where we can go, and that is go as close as possible to the source. We can compare it with a mountain, and if we go up to the mountain and if we go to the source of where the river is starting, it's not easy. Sometimes we've got to make a difficult decision, that we could say, no, it's not for me, I cannot do it. We go up the mountain. When we go up the mountain, we come closer and closer to the source of water, and we really can taste it and we really can experience the presence of God over there. Then there's nothing more beautiful than that. As we were praising and worshiping just now as well, and I thought, we're going to do it in heaven forever and ever, and it's going to be so beautiful. God is going to be present as well. Wow, it's just awesome that we can do that, that we can look forward to that. Because in our lives, we're getting it many times, that things of the world are thrown at us, which is in that water. But we've got to go to the source, to the fountain of it. And the fountain of it is including the Bible. We can read many books. There's nothing wrong with reading other books. But if we're not reading this book, then we're making a mistake. If there's one book what we've got to read, it's this book. But God is telling about himself. It's the same with spending time. We can spend a lot of time with looking at other stuff, listening to other preachers. Nothing wrong with it. But make your quiet time and listen to the source. Listen to the fountain. Listen to where it is coming from, which is God himself. Sit down with him. Talk with him. We can watch so many YouTubes, because they flood, how should I say, the YouTube channel with people who are preaching and bringing messages and so on. There's nothing wrong with it. But spend time with God. That is the clear water. The others are all somewhere. Not to say that they are wrong, but there's nothing more beautiful than to spend time with God and have that conversation with him where he's speaking into your life. And that you can go from there, that you can drink that fresh living water, what he's giving to us for free. All of you said that you've been thirsty in your life. So all of you know how it feels to be thirsty. And God wants to give us fresh water. I'm going to ask one of you just to play, and I'm going to ask you for 2 minutes that you're going to pray, but that you're going to speak to God. Don't pray a standard prayer or anything like that, but speak to God as God is sitting next to you. Speak to him. Just wait a moment. Yeah, you can start, Yolani. If you're here and if you say, but I do not know God, I do not know that source of water, I do not know the fountain of water, I've never accepted him as the creator of heaven and earth, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I've never accepted the Holy Spirit as my helper, you've never taken that decision, and you're here today, then I'm asking you to raise your hand. Is there anyone like that who's never made that decision in his life? Then we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask you that you speak to God, and that you say, Lord, I come to the fountain. I want to speak to you. I want to receive from you. And whatever is on your heart, you can share it with God.
If my heart is overwhelmed and I cannot hear your voice, I'll hold on to what is true, though I cannot see. If the storms of life they come and the road ahead gets steep, I will lift these hands in faith. I will believe. I remind myself of all that you've done and the life I have because of your Son.
takes the bow and bends the spear and tells the horse who says, oh my.
This sermon hasn't got to end. This sermon is starting over here, but we're going this week. We're going to seek God's face. And I'm asking you not to watch any YouTubes, not to listen to any sermons, But go with your glass. Go to that source of water, that living water, that free water, to God. And communicate with God. Speak to Him. Ask Him that He speaks into your life. And let this whole week, let it be part of this sermon. Refreshed, because God is speaking into your life. Because He's an awesome God. He's your Father. Be blessed.
blessed.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.